in Seattle, Seattle. And you need to buy yourself a home. We'll be right there for you, because we're the realtors that you can trust. So go to RodandConsidDow.com.
Don't go anywhere unless you want to. It's the Ron and Don Show, starring Ron and Don, and sometimes me, at ronanddon.com.
Hey, you guys, what's going on? Welcome to episode 699 of the Ron and Don Show. You know what that means? Yeah, 700 episodes next time. How about that? Unbelievable. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you. Over 2 million clicks of the Ron and Don Show. You're going to Les Schwab, you're buying tires, you're calling Mitch, you're getting mortgages, and you've also been calling us to make us your real estate agents and your broadcasters. So thanks for doing that. Thanks for supporting the podcast. It means a lot to us. Hey, coming up on the Ron and Don Show, and again, we are live in the Les Schwab studios.
What is up, Ron and Don Nation?
Yeah, we're going to talk about women building wealth and how they're doing it. And men, you better catch up. Also, we got to talk about travel, the case against travel. Yeah, new article out. Ron will have a lot to say about that. Before we get to that, though, let's get to this. By the time you've heard this, Nick Saban, the coach of Alabama, went and hung out with Ted Cruz. Uh-oh. He's hanging out in the other Washington. And as you know, he walked away from Alabama football after winning numerous national titles. They say he's probably the greatest college coach, maybe even greater than Bear Bryant. How about that? Bear Bryant, we have to remember, though, played in an age where there weren't a lot of black players, and he also liked to hit his players. So I don't know why we love Bear Bryant. Doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, it's like talking about Babe Ruth, the greatest baseball player of all time. How is that? He never played against black and brown people. And evidently, they're pretty good, because when I look at the Mariner team, a lot of black and brown people, right? So anyway, how could Babe Ruth be the best? Anyway, I got a little sidetracked on that. My point is this. Nick Saban is upset with the NIL. He's upset with the fact that he believes, Ron, players are more concerned about what they're going to get paid when they enter college sports than they are actually playing the game, bettering themselves as a person, a student. He doesn't like it. Initially, when he left Alabama, and we know we lost our Washington coach because he headed down to Alabama, Coach DeBoer. He said it wasn't because of that. Well, he changed his story yesterday, liar, liar, pants on fire, when he sat down with Ted Cruz. And now it looks like Congress wants to get involved here when it comes to payers getting played, paid in college football. What say you about Nick Saban? As I then went online and I looked at like his $17 million home in Florida, his $27 million home in Alabama, cash, cars, and stars. He's done pretty well for himself. And then he's won all these national titles using basically free labor. And now he doesn't want those players to get paid.
Yeah,
he got paid.
I get it from Nick Saban's perspective of why he doesn't like it. But I always think about, well, what is it for? And so back in the day with amateur athletics, the promise was this: hey, young person that's gifted in athletics, we want you to come to our college. We're going to waive your tuition and give you a stipend for books and housing so that you can be a student athlete and you're going to represent our college. And in the days before television contracts and 24-hour sports networks and sports betting on everybody's phone, there was a world where that meant something. You know, go watch Boys in the Boat. There's a world in which the University of Washington had a rowing team and they entered the Olympics and won a medal. And it was a point of pride for the state of Washington and for the university.
Hey, and all the African-Americans, speaking of African-Americans, black and brown people, they did a great job of including everyone. So congratulations to them. Anyway, what were you saying?
And so now,
were there any black people in that movie?
They did reference Jesse Owens, which in a very way that like was not realistic.
That had
at
to be
all.
Hard for you. Just a side note, that had to be hard for George Clooney because he seems to be pretty well aware. But you're trying to tell a period piece,
and he did not. I don't think he did the history any justice.
We
at all,
saw this in Oppenheimer too, where you're doing a period piece, and it's like, yeah, even if you do an old football movie in the 1960s. They didn't have a lot of black players that were playing in college football. So how do you tell a period piece true to that period? We see the same right now. You and I have been watching Masters of the Air. Finally, the Red Tails, the black pie, show up, but it's now episode eight. Yeah, episode eight. And nine.
So I think we need to distinguish and just call it like it is right now. There are sports where you can still be a student athlete. If you are on the archery team,
you have to be because football is paying for you to be on the archery team.
Right.
Those sports do not survive without men's football and men's basketball.
I'm saying blow up that whole paradigm is being blown up. So I think as a
archery?
School, yeah, in the sense that you have an athletic department where the budget's going to apply to all the sports, this stuff is going to radically change in the next 10 to 15 years, where basically I think you need to say football and basketball programs in a college level is a precursor to the professional level. That's all that it is.
And they make a lot of money for all these universities.
You carve that out and they're going to make their own television deals, their own NIL deals. It's its own entity. Now, when you have the women's volleyball team or you have men's baseball or you have archery or you have field hockey, stuff like that, that should be the athletic department. That should be, and don't tell me that these big colleges like the University of Washington with a $4 billion endowment can't afford to support college athletics.
What about all the other colleges? There's many colleges that can't afford those without men's basketball and men's football.
I understand.
Those are the drivers that, even at the University of Washington, those are the drivers that pay for those programs.
But not anymore.
And that's why Stanford got rid of a lot of their programs because they're like, man, if you can't pay your own way, the archery team is out.
I don't think that the future of those colleges is going away. So let's take WSU.
The future of what?
So I'm going to explain. WSU was part of the Pac-12. It got its share of the television contract, so WSU could support these other athletic programs because it was all folded in. WSU's on its own now. Pac-12 is gone. None of the big conferences want WSU. And so Washington State is going to become a school. Their television contract is going to go for football and basketball from probably tens of millions of dollars, if not more, to nothing now. They're not going to be on a big TV contract anymore.
They'll still get something when they sign up
with the WAC. They'll get like pennies on the dollar to what they used to have.
True.
So you're going to have the Big Five and then everybody else. And so if you used to be Oregon State or Washington State or these type of, UNLV.
Players aren't coming because they're not going to get paid.
Right. San Diego State. Like all of those colleges that used to be in a conference where they got a fair share.
You're going to suck in perpetuity.
They're going to have nothing.
Yeah.
And so let's stop pretending that it's the same thing. So sorry, Nick Saban. We're in a world, I'm pro player on this. The players' bodies are at risk. The players' likeness and image is being sold and profited.
The players made you filthy rich.
The players made you filthy rich.
And you can't game the system anymore by having six quarterbacks on your bench because the four quarterbacks and maybe even the fifth one are going to leave. They're going to hit the transfer portal because they want to play. They're going to go somewhere and play.
Right. Then the players deserve to get paid.
You can't stack your teams of blue chip players and win national championships. The playing field was leveled and he walked away like a cry baby.
Yeah, let's just call it like it is. At the NFL pre-league, the is college football. If we want, there's no such thing as fairness at all or equity in college sports. So Title IX is virtually meaningless now. Programs like golf and all these collegiate athlete sports that would be great for the university and do make you a more rounded human being doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter. When I can pick up my phone and make a wager on the University of Washington versus Alabama game while it's being played in real time, don't tell me about student athletics and having a balanced college experience.
So is there something that Ted Cruz could do? Is there something that government should do to rein this in or create?
Yeah, make football and basketball its own entity. And then if you want to create regulation around the rest of college athletics, fine. But they're not the same thing. Nobody is like, we did not have a college softball World Series party at my house or your house, but we did have a college national championship party for football. And so does that make me a bad fan? Maybe
it does.
It makes me a bad softball fan. Right. And so, until
makes me a bad one too.
Until we're having, hey, Don, you got to come over, bring your son. We're watching, you know, the lacrosse championships on the Ocho. Until that becomes a thing, then let's stop pretending like lacrosse is the same as March Madness, because it's not.
All right. The case against travel. Let's talk about it next.
Hey, it's Ron Adon here for Les Schwab. You know, when it comes to safety on the road, Les Schwab has your back, from tires and wheels to brakes, batteries, alignment, steering, suspension. Everything they sell and service is focused on your safety and your family's safety. Plus, they like to save you money. I like to hear that. Right now, during the Les Schwab Spring Tire Sale, you can save up to $80 instantly when you purchase a set of four select tires, plus $50 with Les Schwab financing for a total of $130 in savings. Stop by or book your appointment at LesSchwab.com. That's LesSchwab.com. I recommend doing the appointment online. That's Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
All right, so this is how real estate works. I'm at a Seahawks game. And I'm watching the Seahawks win the Super Bowl, and I'm in my friend George's seat, and I'm sitting next to my friend Mike Martin. Known Mike now over a decade. He calls me the other day, says, hey, I got a tech friend. He's in Hawaii, owned a property in Green Lake. He's going to fix it up. He went to Hawaii, said, I'm never going home. So he's had this rental now for 10 years. His name is Jude. So Mike puts me in touch with Jude. Jude calls me and says, hey, I got to sell this house. I call Scotty. We go over the house, and this house has a foundation problem. It has a roof problem. It has lots of problems. And in order to fix this house and bring it to market, it's going to take about $100,000. And then the house is going to be worth about $925,000. Anyway, there's a builder that Jude knows that says, hey, well, I'll give you $835,000. And then there's a neighbor that says, hey, I'll give you $850,000. And then what I did is I got on the phone with one of my builder friends, because again, I don't like seeing homes torn down, but there's some that have to be torn down when they have bad foundations, right? And this is a home that has to come down. This builder said, you know what? I'll pay $1,060,000 for that particular house. So, case closed. There are builders right now paying more for properties than people are willing to pay when they step in and say, wow, this thing has a bad foundation. This thing is still in oil. This has a bad roof. There's a lot of work to do here. So while many homes I like to see restored, some can't be, right? So when you need us, if you have a piece of property, if you have an old home that has a bad leaky roof, lots of deferred maintenance, call us. Because sometimes the best thing to do is to fix it up and bring it to market if you have the funds to do so. And sometimes the best thing to do is to create a new property and reimagine it. Because guess what? Here in Seattle, yeah, there's not a lot of property just laying around. So when you need us, whether it's wholesale, retail, investing, buying, selling, let's sit down. RonAndDonSitDown.com. All right, you guys, welcome back to the Ron Adon Show. Ron just got back from a trip. On the trip, he was reading about the case against travel. What is the case against travel?
There's a bit of a backlash. I get it. It's just from the New Yorker. The tone of the article is really snarky. And it's basically saying everybody likes to travel. Stop it. Like, that doesn't make you special or make you anything grandiose. And so they go through and they cite some famous people in the past that basically were like, travel's overrated. You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson and Plato.
I thought you were going to go lay a Walt Whitman blades of grass on me.
A lot of these guys are saying, hey, be happy where you're at.
Well, Walt Whitman was always just laying in the grass.
He was in the leaves.
Poetry. You didn't have time to, and, time to travel.
And so the article, I get what they're saying, and I'll frame it up for me like this.
What are they saying?
They're saying if you travel without purpose, just to tick something off, then you can make a viable case against that travel. So if and I'll just use my recent trip to Mexico. So it was there for a wedding.
And tequila. Not in that order.
Oh boy, geez. So let's just take this from an objective point of view. We're going to travel somewhere, and it happens to be by where there's incredible historical significance with the Mayan and Aztec Empire. So if you make that trip, and all you want to do is to hang out with your friends on the beach and have an open bar, well, you could do that at any beach. Right? You could do that at a beach in Florida. You could do that at a beach in Texas. You could do that at a beach in California. The beach doesn't really matter if that's what you're doing. So
there's a lot of beaches you couldn't do that, actually.
That's true. Yeah. But so the case against travel in that regard, I think, is totally valid. Where it's like, it doesn't have to be in Mexico. If what you want is to be at a beach and to just hang out with your friends and never leave a resort, that resort could be anywhere.
Can you imagine how many people pee in the pool?
Oh my God.
Cancun.
I don't even want to know.
Especially these stand-up bars.
I don't even want to know.
It's literally in one end and out the other.
Totally.
Constantly.
Totally.
Constantly.
So,
did you get in the pool?
For briefly.
Was there lots of chlorine?
Lots of chlorine.
It's got to be worse than kids.
It's totally.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now
cocaine and chlorine.
So if you're going to make a travel experience where you want to learn something about world history, you want to open your mind to another culture, you want to engage in stuff that is different from where you came, I think there's nothing more valuable than that. It opens your mind in a way that nothing else does. It gives you empathy and compassion in a way that nothing else does. It makes you grateful and thankful for humanity in a way that nothing else does. And it shows you that the world is bigger than your worldview. And so if you're going to travel in that way, then I think that there's nothing that's more valuable than it.
And I don't even think travel has to be international. I think when I was younger, we went around in a trailer. My dad was a truck driver, so he liked to drive. We didn't stay places. He would always leave the truck connected to the trailer. And then my brother and I would get in a fight, and we'd shake the trailer. And then he'd come out in his tighty whities with a Vantage cigarette hanging out of his mouth and try to hit us with his belt. But we were pretty quick, pretty nimble. My sisters were allowed in the trailer. We weren't even allowed in the trailer. So we had to do all the work around the trailer, jack the trailer up, refill the propane bottles, wash the trailer. All kinds of things we had to do, make the beds in the trailer, but we never got to really be in the trailer, which is, you can tell there's some bitterness here on my part. But when I did get older, and I will say, like, if you listen to my politics, I think my politics is pretty, I just consider myself an independent, not a Democrat, not a Republican. I voted for both. I'll typically vote the issue, the person. And I think I'm pretty fair. And I think the reason I'm pretty fair is because I haven't lived on the West Coast my whole life, right? The reason I may see the border crisis differently than other people do is because I lived on the border. I worked in a dish room when I was 15, and I was a supervisor of 15 people that were from Mexico that would come over the border, right? So I got to know Enrique. I got to know him very well, and his family, and Esteban, and all of them, the fry cook. And then Ron and I have lived in the border states of Texas doing radio, and living in New Mexico, living in Arizona, living in California. Those are all the border states. It's a 2,000-mile border. So I have thoughts on the border because and I've lived in the border. I've crossed the border on my bicycle. I was born in the Midwest. I've spent lots of time on the East Coast. When you spend time even traveling within the continental United States or up to Canada, down to Mexico or Central America, you realize how different the cultures are and how yet we are all the same. But if you just kind of stay in your bubble, if you look downstairs right now, in fact, this weekend, my son is going for his passport picture, because I see the importance of when we travel, when even during spring break, when we've gone to New York or Chicago or heading to DC, when we do those things, it changes him, and it also makes him more open to other cultures, a better listener, It expands his palate and his appreciation for other people. And I think for the people that don't travel or you stay in one spot in one place, and you think when you get to the pearly gates, if you believe in that, if you're a Christian and you believe in that, if you think God gives a flying you know what, that you're an American or you fly the flag, he doesn't, or she doesn't, or the universe, or whoever that is. And when you spend more time dealing with the people and the families that are stuck in that barbed wire down there, you have a different perspective when you have proximity. When you have proximity to things that you don't understand. When you have proximity. I would say living in South Central Los Angeles put me in proximity of things that I'd never seen or experienced. And it changed me in a very, very powerful way. So I think that's what travel does. I think it places you in proximity.
Yeah. So again, I think you and I are in agreement. When you travel with purpose, it's the greatest thing in the world.
That's not a very good segment if we're green.
When you travel.
Let's move on. Next segment. What were you saying?
Next segment.
Let's find something we can argue about. We'll see you on the other side.
Don here with Mitch Weeks. You know him as Mitch.Loans. Mitch, let's be honest, interest rates have been higher than they have been for the past couple years, but we're still seeing inventory. We're still seeing sales. What is happening right now? If I just want to be a standard every day, I want to buy a house. Maybe it's my first house.
Well, if it's your first house, there's still a lot of great products for first-time homebuyers. You can put as little as 3% down. Often, with a little more negotiating now, you can also get a seller to buy down some of those costs that have come with being a first-time homebuyer. And it's a great time to buy. Honestly, rent is 100%, as we've talked about. You're giving all your money to the landlord. Even if you're paying 8%, that is 92% better than what you're paying with rent.
It is. So Mitch can help you out if you're a first-time buyer. You can go ahead and just go to Mitch.Loans, talk to him, figure out if you qualify for one of these programs, and then start your real estate journey. You're not going to regret looking back in 5 or 10 years and going, wow, I could have bought in 2023. Why didn't I do that? So stop waiting, get in the game, go to Mitch.Loans.
All right, you guys, welcome back to the Ron and Don Show. It's interesting, whenever we look at our numbers when we're in terrestrial radio, when we first got to Cairo Radio, it was like 90-10. 90% of the people that listened were men, 10% were women. When we left there, 60% of our audience was women, 40% men. This podcast, we can see that about 70% of the people that listen to the podcast are women, 30% men. A lot of that is because as men get older, in fact, Ron and I were just at a going away party for one of our clients the other night, and I had women at the party who were in their 50s, 60s, and 70s say to me, I really enjoy the podcast, really enjoy listening. And then I'll ask them, what did you like, or what did you listen, or how could we do better? Every single man at that party, later 50s, 60s, and 70s, what happened to you guys? Miss you guys. I'm like, well, we have over almost 700 episodes of the... Oh, you do? Yeah. All you got to do is pick the podcast player of your choice. I don't have one of those. So I was pulling out phones and showing men how to download the podcast player of their choice so they could listen to the podcast. And for some of them, I ended up sending them a podcast. It's the first podcast that they ever listened to. So get this. Congratulations, ladies. First and foremost, I was looking at some statistics about you the other day. Number one, when it comes to your podcast listening, you love the Ron and Don shows. So thank you for that. In real estate, single women own, almost 3 million more homes in the United States than men do. 3 million more. Women today have more college degrees and are more educated than men are. When it comes to building a wealth snowball in the next 10 years, women will bypass men when it comes to their own personal wealth, especially when it comes to money that they've inherited and invested versus going out and buying a boat. Or those ridiculous damn RVs that men buy that are size of buses? What do you need a bus for? Just take a bus. Eric Sano from the SPD, you know what I'm talking about? How do you drive that thing down the road, man? That's unbelievable. Women also, they say, Ron, they are living longer. And when it comes to the recession, one of the reasons we haven't gone through a recession is because women have found a way to stay in the workforce. When it used to be you're having a baby and you got to take the off ramp. Now, they learned through COVID, hey, and employers learn this too. I'm having a baby. I'm going to stay from home. I'm going to stay at home and I'm going to work from home. So women working from home have had a profound impact on the vibrancy of this economy. How about that?
It's a great story. And it's a lesson, I think, for men, especially in our age category. I just had a conversation with someone the other day where they're like, hey, my mom and dad got divorced. My dad basically lives alone, has health problems, very isolated, no real friendships. You know, we have to have someone go by and check up on him and help him buy groceries. Mom lives in a community where she has 20 female friends and they play cards and they go to the pool and they play dominoes and they go out and they have a book club and she stays super active. And for men, we just need to get over ourselves and learn how to build adult friendships. Call someone, ask them to do something. When you do something, tell them that you appreciate their friendship. It can be a ball game. It can be, you know, the quintessential guy stuff. I think about maybe once a month. We did a story a couple of years ago. Over in Britain, they have these clubhouses that they've made for adult men in British townships around England, where guys just go and they hang out under the umbrella of we're going to make something in the shop. So they have a shop. It's set up with tools. Guys go in there and they say they're going to make a cutting board or, you know, carve something or make a birdhouse or whatever it is. But most of the time, it's just to go hang out with other guys and to go have something to do while you're hanging out. So take a page of inspiration from these women and let's get our acts together. Like, find something you like to do and go do it and be social. And it will lead to these things that you talked about, like investing. Join an investing club. Join a club about real estate. Like, do something that can help you, because that's what the women are doing, and it's inspiring to watch.
Yeah. Hey, guys, thanks for listening to this episode of the Ron and Don Show. If you need us, just reach out. RonandDonSitDown.com. And also, if you need to get a hold of Mitch, just go to Mitch.com. For Charlie, Ron, and myself, keep your head up, shoulders back. We'll see you next time. You've been listening to the Ron and Don Show only on the Ron and Don Radio Network.
Now keep your head up and your shoulders back and keep blowing that trumpet, and we'll see you next time.
Only.
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 Only
on the Ron and Don Radio Network.